All right, welcome back here for the 7 o'clock hour on a Friday. I always say this, Dave. Nobody can mess up a Friday. You just can't. There's nothing you can do. Nobody can yell at you. Nobody can give you, well, I mean, you get real bad news. But for the most part, you know, we don't let anybody mess it up. You got football starting back up. By the way, Dolphin fans, I do know this. Nobody handed me a schedule or anything. But open to the public tomorrow. For the practice, first time,
first pro. I see, my mind is on the music Dan Day all day.
He's all over. I can't figure him out. You never know.
We started
with
Let It
back.
Be, you know, and that got me pumped. Now it's like a little romantic tune. What was that about?
That was Lionel right there.
Yeah, you know, just kind of meandering my way through the day.
It's Friday. It's sort of playing the theme of Joe, that little romance on the weekend. I guess is waiting all day, Dan Day.
Yeah, I like the weekend romance. That always. Not a bad. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, romance. I mean, just being, you know, really nice to your loved ones. That's all. Hey, so anyway, we got all kinds of stuff going on, and for Dolphin fans, you get to go out and see it yourself. Rotating a lot of defensive backs out there. You know, again, there are rules, and they don't want you putting who's playing with what groups and stuff. But they're rotating a lot. I mean, they're rotating a lot of guys in there. And, Dave, I can't remember. I've been saying this last couple of days. You've been around to see it as long as I have. A position with less experience than the secondary. Cornerback position. Not safety, because Minka's there now. But the cornerback position, where you play usually two starters and a guy inside.
I would say I don't remember an impact position. I mean, because cornerback is one of your that's one of your building block positions where they don't really have. And I'll put Cater up there. That okay? He's a second corner. You could say he's a second, but they don't have that one guy that you build around, or you say he can go against their top receivers.
And Cater really has been your third guy.
Yeah, he's been
every year.
So you're asking him to take, and I think he's probably ready for that. So that wouldn't scare me as much. But you talk about who's the number one guy, you talk about depth, and you talk about this schedule where they go against Josh Allen twice, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Daniels. I mean, they have a quarterback. The schedule's friendly, but they do go against some top quarterbacks. So the question is, who you got at cornerback?
It's a great opportunity if you want to put the spin on it. Listen, everybody wants guys.
And you
guys
do
with
in
experience.
July. You do in July. You put the spin on it, right? As you said, you ran into Ethan Bonner the other day.
I did, and we talked about, hey, this is really, you know, this is not just a preseason. It's not just a camp. And I have a great practice, and I get the orange jersey, and a guy say I can play, and then season comes around, I don't play. So he said, this just feels different for all of us. For Storm Duck, who now doesn't have to wait for somebody to get injured. He by the way, Storm Duck right now got more experience than just about anybody. He's got to feel good about his chances. Cam Smith gets another chance to show that he's a starter. They're not going to give up on him. One thing about this team, fair or not, if they see potential, even if it's a maturity problem, if it's a staying healthy problem, durability problem, they will give guys a chance if they see potential. They've done it with a tight end who's out there right now that they're talking a lot about. They've done it with Cam Smith, who's been given lots of chances, second-round pick, obviously. But they've done this with a few guys. Hey, Ezekama, Eric Ezekama, I think this is fourth year, he's out there making catches, and I got to be honest, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, you're still here because you have potential. Every year has that preseason moment or that preseason half, and we go, Ezekama might be, hey, he might end up being a third wide receiver, and then, well, he's hurt, he's out, well, he's out a little longer, well, they don't, so it doesn't work out. Tanner Connor, fourth year. He's out there catching football. You see it. He's out there making some catches.
He made a nice catch from Zach Wilson across the middle yesterday.
So, and Cam Smith's in that group too. And they're counting on some of those guys. Those guys, if they have a good camp.
They're hoping. I don't know if they're counting. They're crossing their fingers that some cornerback or two rises, takes the next level. Because if not, they're in big trouble. You cannot go into a season having glaring holes at any position, much less positions of impact. And that right now, they have glaring holes at cornerback. They have glaring hole. Their tight end. The one guy they're counting on. They had him line up against. They had him try to block Chop Robinson yesterday. And which I get is training camp. You're trying different things, seeing who can. But he couldn't block Chop yesterday.
No,
and he shouldn't be. I think pretty soon
it's gonna be not a lot of guys gonna be able to block him. So the thing that's made Chop and the thing that's Patrick Paul has. They ask a ton of questions. They want to get better. They want you to tell them the truth. They love to go to veteran guys and go, hey, what do I do? They go to the guy they're playing against. Hey, what gives you the big – so they're all – our 1-2 from a year ago, and you hope you get it again from these two guys because these two guys are going to come in and they're going to be starters day one. Savanaya is going to start, and on the other side, you know, you got your defensive tackle. Kenneth Grant is going
to
start.
Patrick Paul talked yesterday, really fascinating, and when you listen to him, you think – okay, this isn't just a big body, because he talked about he looked at not only all his plays, he looked at all left tackles, 31 left tackles, other left tackles in the leagues, all their plays during the offseason.
He did?
Yeah, and like he talked about Trent Williams was, you know, you would think that'd be the guy you'd look at, right? And he really studied him. And so, you know, it was really interesting to talk about. Look, and he talked about him and the rookie or in there every day, bonding to, you know. So it sounded
but if you're
a little
doing
like
that,
Richmond Webb and Keith Sims.
So by the way, so just a thought. So those two work ethic, they made clear since day one. We heard the veterans go, oh, my God, Patrick Paul and Chop Robinson, they can't take in enough. They want more. Hey, I'm a one-trick pony. Help me out. What can I do? Play wider. You got great speed. Your first step's one of the best in football. You know, use the tools that you have. So then you hear other guys got great talent, and they don't use it. And so now you hope that light goes on that those guys will get in great shape. If I'm Cam Smith, and I'm not trying to pick on any one guy. You know, it's a fresh start. It's camp. It's great. It's, hey, jobs are open again. Ding, 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 ding. Your chance to be a starter. Cam Smith, I don't know if he's aware of what people say about him, which is
you would hope by year
incredible.
Three. I mean, Vic Fangio was very direct in public comments about Cam Smith. Doesn't work hard enough. Doesn't study enough.
Right. How do you not? Just because you're a top pick in a draft, which happened to be South Carolina, even a second-round pick. We didn't have a first-round pick. But, like, how are you not? I mean, it's great. You're going to get every chance, but you got to go out and like Cam's must see like Chop, how Chop works. He must see on the same side, you know, one's a number one pick, one's a number two pick. Like Cam Smith, now they're going, well, he was there all off season again. Look at man.
I remember talking to Mike Leach, the late coach, about Wes Welker once, and he said, you know, Wes Welker taught me something about players that I didn't know, and that focus and being able to study is a talent. You know, because here's this guy, Wes Welker, who was zone laser focus on stuff, and his attitude was perfect. And then there are other players with greater talent.
Yeah.
They don't, and I think that's where you're going here,
yes.
Where you had Chop Robinson and Patrick Paul, great attitude, great. You know how and Cam Smith, great talent, but he doesn't have the other things that are talents. Great physical talent, but a lot of the you know, studying.
So I don't think all these teams are stupid on these first and second round picks. I think they all get the same information. Wow, this kid's got unbelievable talent, and the other team says unbelievable talent. I think it still goes back to, man, you got to work. You got to work, and that, all right, you got drafted. You're set now with the money part of it, the bonus, signing bonus you get for first and second round. But you still got to put in the work, man. You still got to want to be great every day. And I play with a bunch of guys where our ones and twos were good every year. I mean, they didn't have nearly as many scouts and all the inside information. And you get the Dwights and Don McNeils 1 year, one and two. You get Geisler 1 year, you know, in the first round at left tackle. And, I mean, you get Bo, and you just get all these guys that come in that A.J. Dewey and Bob Baumhauer. I mean, that's what a first and second round pick, and those guys worked their ass off. They worked, man. They were company men, too. They were company men in the off season. And you hope, no matter what year it is, I don't want to go, I just did old school and I didn't want to do old school, but you just hope everybody will come and work like Chop and Patrick Paul. They had to put pictures of them up. Work like them, you got a chance.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I didn't know much about Patrick Paul. He you know, practiced, he basically got a full year of practice last year because Teron Armstead didn't practice. And so.
And he got some game, great, he got some game time.
And he played some.
Yeah.
So. But this is what good franchises do. They hand it over to the young guys, the healthier guys. And so
Well, we haven't done enough of that in recent years.
Right.
That's and so that's what we need to get back to what we did last year and this year, where one and two are gonna start. Chop, whether he starts or not, is gonna play my point. He might not get, you know, you say start and it's really start and a bonus. Did you play the first play? That's what start is. So I don't want to get carried. But Chop basically is a starter, even with the other two veteran guys that are out there. You, those guys, man, we need to hit on ones and twos coming in here and not give up those picks. No more giving up a whole bunch of picks for veteran players. Just got to do it the old-fashioned way, man. The draft is never going to get outdated. You got to do it through the draft.
the Dolphins have been so up and down on the draft in the past 7 years.
Tried a lot of different
their
things.
Philosophies. They got to stick to a philosophy.
Yeah. Hey, I got to stick to going with Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage too, man. I'm telling you right now, you talk about just outworks everybody and gets it done. Has been in the business 36 years. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. You're looking to get a mortgage. And it's taken a while, and you're like, this is, that's why Michael Kotze has been successful in South Florida for so long. He's got programs like a first-time homebuyer program. Best rates, you're always going to get the lowest rates with Michael Kotze. Get approved, get all your stuff done, so when you go out to find a home, you're going to actually have a chance to get it, not take forever to get qualified. Self-employed, been declined by the banks? Don't worry, Michael Kotze's got a program for you. Oh, yeah, no matter what situation you're in, Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage can help you. Reverse mortgages, one of the most popular mortgages down here for people in the age group of Dave Hyde and I, and that is if you're 62 or older, you qualify, need it, got all that equity in your home you've been living in forever and could really use it. Michael Kotze, one of his many specialties, is the reverse mortgage. Hey, look at the guy works. He has no life. He's always working 7 days a week. You can call or text him this weekend. He'll get back to you, 561-441-2730, MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender. All right, welcome back. Good morning. Happy Friday to everybody out there, man, especially maybe this weekend. First practice open. Not a lot of practice is going to be open. This kind of a crazy preseason. Dolphins will be on the road damn near 2 weeks in a row, 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you pick up fun things at practice. I saw something. I've seen things, a few things that are sort of defining to me of a new year and little changes. You see referees out of practice. You didn't see that with Mike McDaniel before. And McDaniel stopped practice during scrimmages and was yelling at the team yesterday.
Well, a little sloppy, a little pre-snap.
I'm not sure what it could. Yeah. Well, there were a lot of pre-snap penalties. I'm not sure if it was that or to pick up the intensity or whatever. But the head coach yells at everybody, and whether it's encouragement or, you know, I couldn't hear the words. But yeah, so you go out to practice, you see things, you see interesting things.
You feel like there's a little more urgency out there? Does it feel?
I don't know. I can't.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
People want to know, like, does it feel different? I go, I don't know, because I'm not there every day.
Yeah, and that's hard to measure.
A lot of stuff.
They're not in pads. I mean, it's really hard to measure. You can measure, like, Kader Kohou making a nice play, breaking up a pass.
Guy makes a catch, or a guy breaks it up, yeah. Or a guy beats another guy and is going to get a sack. You can see that. But even sometimes, the other thing that, is frustrating is we guy dropped a ball or a guy caught or a guy threw an interception on his pass. It's like stuff's gonna happen, man. You're trying stuff. You're working with new guys.
Yeah, like, I don't really measure the.
You don't write that stuff.
I don't like that.
You're
the
not
play who, by play of
who's
of
hot, who's not.
Well, I get why it's done, but. No, it's more the over the course of a week, who's looking good and who's not. You can get some feel for that.
Well, I give you an area that we haven't talked about, and we haven't had great success with this, is can our starting five on that offensive line, which is pretty well set. I mean, it is. Off of what was done in the offseason, starting five is set. Paul at left tackle, Savanaya left guard, Brewer at center, James Daniels at right guard, and Jackson back from injury at right tackle. Our problem has been is keeping guys healthy. Matter of fact, you got a couple of backup guys that are.
Well, Aaron Brewer isn't practicing now for whatever reason, and James Daniels pulled himself out for a while of the first practice. He's coming off the Achilles.
Yeah.
To me, the interesting decisions in the offseason were the Zach Wilson. I wrote a column about this for the Sun Sentinel that's going to be up in a little bit. Is it Zach Wilson? Obviously, Minkah Fitzpatrick.
By the way, I agree. That's a good one. Zach Wilson. We haven't barely talked about him. Yes.
And that's the most – he's the most important decision they made in the offseason to me because we saw what happened last year with the backup quarterback. No team is more vulnerable at quarterback than the Dolphins from a health. Tua's missed 4-4,
not even
0
close.
And
yes.
7 games
yes,
last
not even
year.
Close. So, that's not even up for debate. Nobody can even get mad about that yet.
So Zach Wilson is an interesting decision in that he was obviously second pick overall the Jets, and so he must have great talent, and yet he goes to the Broncos last year and is a third stringer behind Jarrett Stidham, and it's not like it's a nobody quarterback coach. It's Sean Payton. Who is Zach Wilson? I talked to him yesterday. Very like him. Very great attitude.
Fresh start for him. with a coach that's got a pretty good reputation with quarterbacks, yes, and Mike and that staff.
And he talked about he came here because he was wanted here. It was important to go to a place where he felt he was wanted.
Right.
And you could see it from his perspective, and you can see how it can work out, right? But there's that nagging question of what didn't Sean Payton see?
So what was the other ones on the list? I cut you off at the backup quarterback.
Well, Minkah. Who is Minkah after 2 years? Because people are thinking that will be the thing that salvages that trade, right?
We got to get closer to the Minkah that we had, and y'all choked up here this morning. We got to find out if the Minkah, because there are going to be people that well, they're already saying I'm Pittsburgh. Oh, they let Minkah go because he hasn't done much the last couple years. His numbers. I mean, you look at numbers. Numbers don't lie. We know about safeties and empty numbers. We just saw it.
He led the league. He tied for the league in interceptions in 2022 with 6.
Yeah.
And he's had 1 the last 2 years. So what changed? And the third guy is James Daniel, the guard. And another Pittsburgh guy. Pittsburgh didn't sign him. They signed a guard from Philadelphia for the exact same contract, 3 years, $24 million, that Daniels signed with the Dolphins. So it wasn't a money thing with Pittsburgh. It was a, we want to move on from him.
Yeah.
So who's James Daniels?
And you know, it's a great point. Sometimes we hear a team will say, wow, we let him go and we didn't think he was very good. And other teams going, man, we loved him. We saw him play and we think he was playing out of position or he'll be better in our scheme. And so that, but yeah, it's funny, but we need some durability out of a starting five. You just can't get down to your eighth or ninth offensive lineman every friggin' year. They played the Texans last year with a guy was playing tackle that just wasn't ready to go, and Tua got hurt in the game, hurt his hip. Like that you just we need some durability.
Well, and they need to come up with a philosophy of what does the interior of the line do? Because like in the spring, Aaron Brewer said it's good. Yeah, they're good guys, but can they move this off? This we have to move, but they got bigger guys who. For pile driving, I would think, in the interior of the line. Can they run inside this year? They couldn't last year at all.
It was pretty clear they weren't happy with their guard play by what they signed. They went out and got paid the most money of anybody for a veteran free agent in James Daniels at guard, one guard position, and they moved up to high in the second round to get your second guard, a rookie. And by the way, day one, put them in there. Let's go. It's your job. Get your feet wet. Make your mistakes. Learn all the tricks. And here we go.
And does running inside, will that cause defenses to get out of that too high look where all of a sudden, to me, though, if you're going to have two expensive receivers, you got to use them. So you got to figure out whatever you have to do, you got to use them because they weren't using them last year.
So to me, that two deep thing has probably been one of the most discussed topics in meetings with Mike McDaniel and Frank Smith and Bevel. And now Bobby Slowick comes in, who was a coordinator last year for Houston. And by the way, we got more guys with titles of coordinator than I can ever remember. If you ever get a chance, go. So all those guys with coordinator top as part of their title, those guys' job is to figure out that two deep thing, and their number two, their main jobs, getting Waddle and getting Tyreek the football. I want to talk about this Tyreek thing. We haven't talked about it. Funny, we waited till this long to talk about it because that's all anybody had. It became yesterday on the national media. The topic was you were either a Tua guy, way to go Tua, calling Tyreek out, not letting him get away. Or I heard a little bit like Tyreek's going, hey, maybe if you would have played all six games and played the whole season instead of 11 games, and is there going to be problem between them? And everybody's tired, and Mike Florio will join us later in the show, and he had a big take on this whole thing. Talent versus, you know, not being mature and the whole thing, and how's this going to work out this year with Tyreek and to his frustration, finally, it was obvious that he finally had seen enough last year and said, hey, man, enough's enough, dude. I want to believe in you, but you got to show us that you can be different. The first time we lose and you don't catch a lot of footballs, how are you going to handle it? And those type of things. What was your take?
Well, you know where I stand because I said they should have traded Tyreek in the offseason after he quit on the team, after he then came out and said, I'm out. He wanted to be traded.
I didn't say that, by the way.
And it took a month for him to rescind that. I'm out. You know, I want to be traded. So I liked that Tua came out and said, look, it's nice that he's, you know, he's shown a good attitude and all that, but there's a lot of things.
You weren't buying it. I saw the headline Sun Sentinel.
No. Look, when Tyreek came out and talked about that, I thought he said all the right things.
Right.
But, okay, it's nice that you're saying all the
right
things.
Don't you want to believe him, though, Dave? Don't you want to go, your kid just tells your dad it'll never happen again, and you go, it's happened a lot, but, man, honey, I believe the kid this time.
Well, I believe
this feels different.
I believe that's who Tyreek wants to be. I do believe that he knows that's who he should be, but can he be that guy? Can he be that guy when he has three catches in November in the cold?
No, I agree.
And he
didn't do very well with those three catch games.
Can he be that guy when they lost two games and he thinks he should have a bigger role? And it's not – look, I do understand some of his frustration. I there was a game in Green Bay. They have first and goal at the 9. And they can go in and get the lead or cut it. And this is an important game for the season.
Yeah, Thanksgiving night.
And he's
last
on the
game.
Bench. Three plays, he's on the bench. And national TV showing that he's on the bench, which starts to come out for the third down and he's pulled back off. So I understand some of the frustration with Tyreek, but I'm not believing this is who he is just because he says this is who
he
is.
No, I got it.
And I appreciate Tua saying there's a lot of work that has to be done in these relationships after what he did last season.
Yeah. Like, don't think we're just all like, it was no big deal. We're, It's a different year. He didn't do that.
I would like to hear from Tua. I need to do more. You know, I'm getting the big salary. I'm leading this team. Yeah, I understand, right, Tyreek, but you know, a lot of this is on me too to win. And I'd like to hear that, you know, if he's going to call out his teammates.
So can I tell you a different take? Because and by the way, a lot of guys around here wanted to get rid of Tyreek at the time. Not me. Never jumped off.
I remember.
You know why?
Because he's good.
He's really good. Matter of fact, at times he's the best. And finding a guy that has a chance to take it 80 every time, 80 yards to the house, or 60 yards, or 50 yards to the house. Man, I'm going to put up with a little bit more from that guy. I'm going to let that go. I mean, he was obviously told, listen, man, you better do some apologizing. These guys want to see a different you. If you really want to be here, you got to show us. We're going to get you the ball. We're going to get those numbers back up, but you got to do your part no matter what. It's got to be about winning and all the things you say, right?
And I think the offseason it was well known him and Jalen Ramsey were problems last year, okay?
You think?
And Tyreek changed his tune this offseason, where there must have been some come-to-Jesus moment where he realized, okay, I got to act better. And you didn't get that from Jalen. They must not have got that, because they went out and they traded Jalen and kept Tyreek.
This may be my take, and we watched all the stuff that goes on with Tyreek. I've been through it. I feel, you know, I've been out when he jumped on somebody's boat. All the stuff we've been through and how he's handled everything. I think the video of his soon-to-be ex-wife and the child, I think no matter what, there's two sides to every story. I think it was a bad, bad look for him. I think it was a final, after what had happened at the end of the year, I'm out, which is number one. But now people want to see, now you're going through that, people think you're freaking out of control. You're an idiot. You agree with that?
Well, I agree with
I put it all together. I know you're not putting it together.
No, I agree.
Video.
I agree with there had to be some self-awareness moment that we're okay.
What am
that's
I doing?
Not a good look. But now
doing,
did that all of a sudden make him grow up and change completely? I need to see it.
And he is going to have a game at some point. Not every game is going to be eight catches for and 12 targets. And 130 yards. You're right.
There's one thing to be frustrated, because you see players in losing locker rooms be frustrated all the time and think they should have more. It's another thing to lash out or not go in the game or say you need to be traded and all that stuff.
How does he handle that interview when he gets asked a question at a time where he ain't feeling it, and does he go back to being – Tyreek?
Well, and we saw what was publicly. We didn't. I don't know what happened in the locker room, but when a guy asks out, when a guy doesn't come in, he quits on his teammates. There are things that had to happen in the locker room that we didn't see.
Yeah, but team didn't hide it. Team didn't go, no, it was fine. We weren't going to win the frigging game. Denver wrapped it up.
Well, that's what I liked about how Tua addressed it. He didn't hide it. He didn't.
Yeah.
He could have said, "Oh, we're all fine. Everything's good," and I appreciate that he.
You know,
there's stuff that has to still be corrected here, or the relationships.
Tyreek did apologize at the Super Bowl. I think Mike Florio's one of the shows.
It took a month for him to come out
to
and
Tua.
Apologize.
Like the one guy goes, I want to apologize to Tua. So he'd already known Tua ain't happy about this whole thing of what happened. Anyway, hey, we got to go to break. We got a lot more stuff coming up here, man. Matter of fact, I've just absolutely screwed this thing up. We've got Mr. Poopart coming on to join us from SI.com. Talk about the Dolphins a little bit. We'll have that for you, and we'll just absolutely destroy the 8 o'clock hour. Baptist Health South Florida, man. Want to talk about one of the great sports medicine programs in the country right now, man. Top 50. How do you become a top sports medicine program? You go out and you get the best damn doctors in the business that have seen every kind of injury possible and every specialist for every part of the body. If you don't cover the whole body, man, doesn't do any good. If you don't have knee doctors that can do it all, shoulder, foot and ankle, hand, back, hip and knee replacement, Achilles, if you don't have the total package of doctors, you can't be the best in the business. And Baptist Health South Florida has gone out and got some specialists that are absolutely second opinion. A lot of folks in high school, college, and professionally are coming down here to South Florida. They take care of Inter-Miami, the Heat, the Panthers, the Miami Dolphins, FIU, FAU. They do it all with three great locations. Yes, Doctor's Hospital in Coral Gables, at Hard Rock Stadium right next to the training facility. Heck, you can be out there today and go by and stop if you got an injury and go in and see the doctors. And 595 in Pine Island Implantation, Dr. Swartz and territory out there. Visit BaptistHealth.net/ortho. One go every day. One go at Baptist Health. It's about getting you healthy, back out playing the sports you love the most. Insider joins us. Alan, how you doing, Lefty?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
We're doing great. We got a lot of stuff to get to. First of all, let's get into the trust between Tua and his teammates and Tyreek Hill. You're drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm trying really hard to drink that Tyreek Hill. He's a different man. What do you think?
He's a different man until he's not, right? The thing is, there's nothing he can do right now that's going to make everyone 100% comfortable that there won't be an issue down the line. And all he can do right now is just say the right thing, which he has done. He also went on the apology tour after the end of the season. It's also Tyreek. You know, he's the maturity level is not quite the same as other players. And he makes his comments, I'm out of frustration. I think pretty much everyone would agree with that. Did it need to be? Is it still an issue 7 months after the fact? It's a little weird to me.
All right, Alan, you've been out there the first couple of days, as have I. Do you see differences? Do you see, as Joe asked me, urgency in this team?
Too practice, too early to tell. I like the offensive lineman. I think it was just them running sprints or running some laps around from one sideline to another after practice because of all the false start penalties on Wednesday. I didn't see if they did that yesterday. They certainly would have caused to because there were so many flags. But as far as changes, that's way too early to tell.
Let me we got all these different how concerned with this secondary and what do you think? Is there still more work to be done? Are they going to sign one of these veteran guys, or are they just going to go with a bunch of these young guys and let them grow? What do you think takes place over the next few weeks?
I kind of get the feeling the way they've operated, if we look at the offensive line, a lot of it has been let's trust our own players to make the development that we think they're going to make. I think that's going to be the same approach at cornerback until they see, if it comes to that point, holy smokes, we have to do something or it's going to be a disaster. And it's too early for that. Maybe a couple of weeks down the road, they decide, no, we got to bring in somebody. And then, or it could be that they stick with what they have. I mean, you saw Artie Burns goes on IR, and who did they bring in? They don't bring in Rasul Douglas, Stephon Gilmore, or Mike Hilton, or any of those guys. They bring in a guy who hasn't played a regular season game since 2022. So I think they've basically shown you this is how they're going to operate for the time being.
All right, Alan. Christian Wilkins goes down after a expensive stay in with the Raiders. Does Chris Greer get credit for not signing him? And if so, does he sign Zach Sealer?
Well, the second part of this should be a slam dunk, and if he doesn't, I'm not one of those who automatically says, pay the player, you got to reward your players. Zach Sealer is grossly underpaid. He's got no guaranteed money left. He's your one proven guy, veteran leader on the defensive line. When you've got young guys around him to mentor who are going to be key in the future, such as Kenneth Grant, it would be borderline criminal malpractice if they don't sign Zach Sealer. Obviously, if Zach Sealer is asking for $25 million a year, then yeah, sure, you hold the line a little bit, but they need to get that done. Unlike, for example, what Jonnu Smith, my take was that does Jonnu Smith really deserve vast money? He's a good tight end. Is he elite? Is he a product of circumstances last year or somewhere in between? As far as Christian Wilkins, look, there was a fluke injury that he got, and it turned out to be a fluke major injury. And we don't know exactly the kind of offer, the exact number that was offered to Christian before he became a free agent, went to the market. Once he got to the market and he got the deal he got from the Raiders, at that point, no, you couldn't fault Chris Greer for not giving him that kind of money. The fact that it really flopped in Las Vegas No, that's the result of a fluke injury, and that's a wild, crazy situation there.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because we've already had people telling us, yeah, you guys can apologize to Chris Greer on this Christian Wilkins because he was right. He got injured, which you can't control. And the Raiders got to, as you just said, have a friggin' mess on this whole thing right now. Hey, so one thing about it, looks like a lot of young guys are going to be playing. You got a couple young guys, besides the obvious of your first and second round pick, that you think have a chance to really make a splash on this team. And by the way, they can be young guys that haven't played in the last year or two as well. Who might be a front runner for you?
Splash is a big word, because I think your main guys are going to be your main guys. And I don't even know how much of a take that would be, but Malik Washington looks really good to me. It wouldn't shock me if he wound up being the third wide receiver option ahead of Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. I like the way he looks, and if I look very quickly throughout the roster here, I'm trying to think. I've mentioned Grayson Murphy a couple of times. Hasn't really stood out yet in the first two practices of training camp, and I think there's certainly some opportunities for cornerbacks. I like the B.J. Adams kid, the rookie free agent. I think there's something there. And
what about Cam Smith? Let me ask you about Cam Smith, who's, here we go, year three. Different guy?
No, not so far from what I'm saying. I mean, I know it had a fumble recovery in practice on Wednesday, but that's, you know, just happened to be right place, right time. Loosely down the field in a play where half the guys are now starting to go half speed. I really wish I could tell you that I see very, very encouraging signs. I haven't seen him yet. Doesn't mean they're not going to happen, but still not feeling great about it right now.
Hey, I don't know how big a deal it is. Davis, and you guys got to cover this and write about it every day and podcast it. Minkah Fitzpatrick, through the first 3 days, has decided he doesn't want to talk to the media yet. He's out there. He's doing everything. He understands his leadership role. But how much does that bother you, and what would be the reason, in your opinion, that he hasn't spoken to you guys yet?
I think it's a reluctance to deal with some of the questions he knows are coming, such as what happened with his exit in 2019, his contract situation, and where he's making good salaries the next 2 years, but nothing's guaranteed. Even though it's more likely than not that he would see those two years anyway. And then getting traded from Pittsburgh, I would think that didn't sit well with him. He was in a situation and he had found a home with the Steelers, made All-Pro a couple of times with the Steelers. But the thing is, the questions are going to come anyway. Why not get it over with? And Minkah's intelligent enough. And if I remember back from his days in 2019, he's somebody who knows how to answer questions the politically right way. So I think he'd be able to navigate those. I don't know why he's not talking, getting over with. It's kind of like he's raising questions. Not that it's a big deal in the grand scheme of things, but he's raising questions as to what's going on with his mindset that wouldn't be there had he just talked on the first day.
See, to me, he's raising a lot
point.
More relevant questions than Brian Flores or demanding the trade. Nobody cares about that anymore. I mean, yeah, he's going to be asked about it, but if he doesn't want it, who cares?
But
why isn't he talking?
Years,
is he
why?
Happy? Yeah. What's his role here? Yeah. Those are the relevant questions.
Hey, you might be in the nickel position like you were your rookie year. You know, yeah, you're right. All that stuff is... But, hey, you can't run and hide forever, man. Pretty soon.
No, and then another question would be like, why would you be okay with playing a jack-of-all-trades in the secondary now if that's what you're asked to do when you weren't in 2019 as per multiple reports?
Yeah.
But he's smart enough. It's not like he doesn't know the kind of questions that could be coming his way.
Yeah, hey, I know you got to get running. Alan, thank you so much. We got to get back out. Have you been playing? That left-handed serve is a bitch, man, that thing you hit. Have you been playing much?
I haven't played because I just got back from a long vacation in Japan, so need to get back out there, though.
All right, man. Alan, thank you. Appreciate you coming on.
You got it, folks.
Alan Poupart from SI.com. That's interesting stuff. Like, but it's weird because he, like, Minkah Fitzpatrick's 29 years old. Listen, man, you play for Pittsburgh. He's been through it all. He's seen it all, and he went through it here as a young, talented player.
And he's been a star, so he's been showcased. He's been interviewed a million times.
But Poupart's like me, though. He doesn't want to answer all that.
He doesn't have to answer it. He's going to be asked. Doesn't have to answer it, though.
No comment. No comment.
He said that.
Then you guys will rip him.
That was a long. No, nobody cares about the Flores stuff anymore. Do you? Do you care that why he wanted out of here?
His name sure pops up a lot for a guy that hadn't been here. Well, I think his number. I'll tell you, Omar's like he's in Omar's space. Omar's always talking about Brian Flores.
All right, but that was
whether he likes him or doesn't like him, or how he treats people.
You know, he squeezed a lot of wins out of a bad roster. Brian Flores did.
I agree.
For as much as everybody hates him down here.
First of all, I don't dislike him.
I don't either.
I happen to be a Brian guy. He was great to me. It's how you're treated, right?
And sure, if somebody's nice to you, you're going to be nice to them. Right. It's all human relationships. Right. And he wasn't nice to a lot of people in the Dolphins, so they don't talk nice of him right now.
There you go, Dave. I like that. Hey, 8 o'clock hour's coming up here, man, on a Friday. Hope you got some great plans. Hope we get some good weather. Love to get a little tennis in here today on that clay. That clay will take a little bit of rain. Actually, it's good for it, but not too much. Hey, hurricane season is here, and I hope you're doing everything you can. So far, so good to protect your home. And nobody does it like Loctite Impact windows, doors, and roofing. A lot of people, man. A lot of people starting to talk about all the great work they're doing. If you've got an old leaky roof, replace your old roof now. You can pay later. Loctite offers the highest quality roofing materials with lifetime warranty plus thousands of five-star reviews. Stand behind their work, quality work, covering all of South Florida. Say big on legendary state-of-the-art Impact windows and doors as well. Impact windows as low as $3 per window per month installed. Don't wait for the next storm. Why not protect your home right now? Visit LoctiteImpact.com. Again, that's LoctiteImpact.com. Or you can call, and I recommend calling, 954-500-LOCK. They got a professional staff that takes all your calls, answers all your questions, can come out, take a look at what you want to get done. They're really good from start to finish. Loctite Impact.